Good morning and welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers. I'm here with the one, the only, Austin Ringhausen, a.k.a. Ringer, a.k.a. Ring Dog, a.k.a. Big Daddy Tractor Driver. Ringer, thank you for being here.
You're welcome, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, Mr. Ringhausen, from the time I've known you, you like to drive stuff. You are the epitome of an operator.
I'm usually in a seat, yeah.
Yes, sir. How did that come about?
Just as a young kid, my dad had a concrete business here in Jerseyville, and I wasn't big on handling the forms, but I loved grading out the pads, you know, setting the skid steer and stuff. There's pictures of me at 4 years old running around in that thing. And just ever since then, you know, I just kind of got away from the concrete business and started going my own way, but I knew I wanted to still sit in a seat doing something, and started farming and doing a little excavating on the side, and I just fell in love. I just found my calling, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember very specifically you telling me about your college experience in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, I went up there to school. Mom and dad were kind of on my back, wanting me to go do something after high school instead of just go straight to the workforce. So I found a school up there. It's a school you can go up to. It's called ATS in Madison. And you rent equipment. They show you how to lay out a job, rent a laser, you know. I mean, you're on all kinds of pieces. I think actually now they even teach you how to rent a bore machine and things like that. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's if somebody was looking to do that, that's definitely worth a look. So
awesome. How long until you were teaching the classes?
No. Yeah, they didn't think too highly of me.
I don't know why. You're absolute joy.
Yes.
You're also big time into hunting.
Yeah, I love outdoors, man. I've always been a hunter. So
yeah, how did you get introduced? How did you get involved with hunting?
We always had a family farm east of Carrollton growing up out there. My grandpa was a hunter, all my great uncles, my dad. So didn't really have a whole lot of choice, just got to tag along and found a love for it and went from there, and we did everything. I mean, from first September, you know, shooting doves over a silage field, going to rabbits and quail when there was quail to shoot. And then I kind of found a new love for waterfowl. So I've been pretty hard on that. And my checkbook hates me, but here we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes these vices, they
absolutely
cut into that, but it's worth it in the end. So how long have you been farming?
Pretty much my whole life. Like I said, growing up on the farm, and then if I wasn't there, we always went over to my great uncle Randy's, which he's been more like a grandpa to me than anything, over in Pike County. And just pretty much everywhere I went, that's just been my whole life. Loved it and just kind of stuck with it. Started, you know, making contacts and, hey, you want to come work for me? Yeah, absolutely. And I've just made a living out of it. So, and a good, happy living. I love it. I just wouldn't trade it for the world.
There's something about, you know, when I'm planting, you know, I'm absolutely by no means an expert, but just the actual act and process of trying to grow.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a food plot, or whether I'm trying to grow beans or corn, and it's
there's nothing like a sense of satisfaction going out there, busting your tail, and then after that product's in the ground and you get to watch every step of that all the way to harvest, and then you get to see, hey, I did this. This was me, you know, and I don't know. It just fulfills you, I guess.
Somebody told me one time they loved mowing, and they said there's very few things in life where you can get instant gratification.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And mowing is one of them.
Because I agree.
Looks like crap. You mow it and it looks good.
Yeah.
Instant gratification.
Absolutely.
And I kind of feel the same way when I'm working a field,
sure.
Planting a field, knowing that something got done.
Oh yeah.
To the best of my ability. So with regard to farming practices and hunting, you're in a field all day, every day.
Sure.
How does that impact your hunting?
There's a lot of things that have changed in our area over the last, 30, 40 years. It's just, I think things have changed so fast that people really don't have an answer for it sometimes, but it's happening right in front of your eyes. You just don't see it. Farming, just the machinery and the efficiency has exploded. And I think some people that aren't in the business, their minds haven't caught up to that. I ran a combine through the field. I'm leaving a bushel an acre. I mean, a mouse would starve on that. There's no grain out there for these animals to live on, throughout the winters and stuff. We're getting through them a lot faster, going through more acres faster. And so that being said, talking about my grandpa and my great uncle and stuff, if they'd be shelling corn in December. Well, hell, sometimes you have to wait for it to freeze up before you can go out there and finish or, whatever, and so you weren't fighting the mud.
Right.
Well, now, if you're not done by Halloween, what have you been doing? Everybody just looks at you like you're crazy. And, sometimes it doesn't happen. But with that being said, well, now that we're getting done earlier, well, guess what? That tillage tool's coming in that much faster, and we're getting ready for next year. And here comes the fertilizer. We're working that in. And you're getting rid of all that material to an extent to where, hey, those deer aren't out in that field because there's nothing there. There's no reason for them to be out there. They're scavenging. And it's insane, but it truly is really what's going on from what I see,
That's really interesting. Because, here in this area, there's an abundance of resources, waterfowl migration, tons of whitetail.
Oh, absolutely.
Some other game birds, a lot of guys rabbit hunting.
Absolutely.
Coyote hunting. Illinois is listed as a pretty legitimate fishing destination,
mm-hmm.
which is...
I'd agree to that. I love fish.
Well deserved. Yeah. We got the Mississippi River, the Illinois River. We touched Lake Michigan.
Sure.
So...
Yeah, we got options, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. With farming practices, they are evolving, they are changing. You have no-till. Like you're talking about here, we're coming in, as soon as the crops are harvested, some farmers are out, tilling everything under, getting sure. ready for next year. What... Some of these areas, particularly where you're farming, these are major agricultural areas. You're talking, some of the bottom ground, levee protected.
Mm-hmm.
It's irrigated. Top technologies, brand new technologies.
Yeah.
What are you seeing in terms of game? As a result of, maybe a no-till setup or a plowing setup or anything in between.
So what we've been doing a lot, especially in the river bottoms, that dirt down there, it's just that good old black gumbo that's just got off the farm. I mean, you bring slabs up size of a pickup. So we actually try not to even plow that. If we do anything, we do an inline rip. So your trash stays on top. And a big thing we're doing is cover crops. We've been really hard on the cover crops, triticale, vetch, rye, even wheat. We've used wheat as a cover crop. We actually prefer wheat. It dies easier. And I think that's great. Our quail down in where we're at, the population has absolutely exploded. Now, I will say, too, that the levee systems definitely help that. Gives them grass cover year-round. But now they have that whole... field to go live in, And it's just not wide open, you know, to where a predator, coyote, bobcat, whatever, it's just, you know, easy game. And red-tail hawks, that's huge. The hawks are just awful anymore. I mean, we're cutting bean fields and, you know, you've got rabbits running out and stuff. Just look around. There'd be 10 red-tail hawks at the end of the row just waiting. I mean, it's just, it's a buffet for them. And you feel terrible. And then I don't know if you're really supposed to or not, but there's a lot of times if I see four or five rabbits in front of my head, I'll raise the head up at the end and I'll just kind of try to help get them to the end, you know, keep that hawk off of them. I feel terrible. It's too easy. You know, like, you got to make them work for it, you know?
Right. Right. All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
Jonathan Prain with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company is a full-time land broker who can help you maximize your hard-earned dollars. Call Jonathan for a free assessment and to assist you in selling or finding your income-producing farm, dream hunting spot, rural home, or investment property. Jonathan Prain with Tarrant & Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company. Call 618-225-0568. 618-225-0568.
Okay, welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show from the WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers in Calhoun and Pike Counties. Today we have Austin Ringhausen, a.k.a. Ringer, a.k.a. Ringman, here talking about farming and wildlife. We were just talking about cover crops, the times to put them in, and seems like for those of you out there looking for some late-season hunting activity, your deadline on a warm year is going to be November 1st. After that, you're just burning fuel.
So, but yeah, the cover crops are definitely, I think, helping out immensely because we're not coming in. A lot of our cover crops will stay green. We plant right into them. We don't touch it. We don't work that or anything. I'll come in there. I'll plant right into it, and then I'm followed up by a sprayer. It'll go ahead and kill it at that point. But usually, you know, springtime, the levees are growing. They're getting some cover, road ditches, you know, things like that, and then your crop's coming right behind it. So they've got more of a chance.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's a modern farming practice that's actually improving habitat in terms
absolutely,
of food
it is.
And resources.
And I wouldn't say it's so modern. I think it's starting to catch on more. It's always been a thing, but it's definitely starting to catch on some more. A lot of guys are seeing more benefits into it. They're trying to change up their tactics. So like the guys I work for, pretty well across the board, we plant all non-GMO crops. And that helps keep our weed pressure down. And I mean, we're mainly doing it for that reason, and then letting our nutrients soak right back into the soil, but we're killing two birds with one stone. I mean, we all smile and love to see it whenever we jump four or five coveys of quail.
Right.
So it's like, hey, this is, hell yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, the wildlife coming, and then are your neighbors doing the same thing?
A few are, most not. They just, it's about like anything. Everybody's kind of sitting back watching.
Right. You
know, we're the guinea pig for okay. sure. No so, doubt. So they're kind of just like, well, how's this working out for them? And they're getting interested, asking questions, getting on to a little bit of our program, but they're not all in.
Okay.
Per se. But I think it's starting to catch some eyes for sure.
So what do you guys do? I'd imagine you might run into a few more shed antlers than the neighbor.
They're then. Hard on tires.
That they are.
Yeah.
That they are.
Luckily, which us being down the river bottoms, pretty well 99% of our equipment is on tracks just because it's that good old black gumbo mud dirt.
Yeah.
And we don't feel like pulling equipment out. But like sprayer tires, I've ate a few. It's just a part of it.
Okay. So. All right. Do you do any like pre-shed hunting to...
If you want to walk through that stuff, be my guest.
Bear, where are you?
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah, we got a friend Bear. He's ate up about sheds.
Yes, he does. He
loves
it.
Yeah, I was asking him to come out this year, but it just didn't quite work out.
Yep, he's busy. He's got a lot going on. So.
Oh yeah. I thought, you know, we've got a 3.5-month-old Brody, and Lauren and I were real busy. this spring. So I was,
yeah. Oh, I feel you all too well.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get a little bear in our lives to go out there and do some of the shed hunting for us, but hopefully next year. So we've got food, which is important for wildlife. The more food you have, the more wildlife you're going to have concentrated, especially when you got like a bear field next to you.
Absolutely.
Yep. What are you seeing in terms of, you know, timing? And I say that because anybody, you know, interested in doing a cover crop, when do you have to have your crops out in order to kind of put some of that cover crop in there and maybe attract some wildlife? If you're out there and a landowner that wants to see more wildlife, if you're a hunter and you own some land or you have access to some land and maybe you can help contribute to the cover crops that are going on the farm.
So we usually start shelling corn probably around Labor Day weekend, after Labor Day weekend's kind of our mark, which we shell corn a little wet. We got a dryer system. I would say end of September, first of October, once that temperature starts getting kind of cooler, you know, get a little into harvest for us anyways, I would, you know, go in there, we'll start planting. Now we've done it, we do it two different ways. So we have a 40-foot air seeder, we'll blow it on with that. We used to have an accelerator with an air seeder system on it. So we were doing actually our tillage and then blowing that right into the, you know, our fresh work dirt, come up great.
And that's in one pass?
One pass. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And what we've also done is actually use our dry fertilizer buggy and mixed in with our fertilizer. Say we're going to spread a little urea or, you know, whatever that might be in the fall, whatever we want to use for our fall applications, mix it in with that, spread it on, and here comes your tillage tool. Work that right in, comes up great. So
okay.
Now we've noticed too, probably, depending on your year, obviously, kind of a rule of thumb, you start getting past Halloween, probably just call it quits.
Okay. All right.
Unless you've got some seed you just kind of want to try and throw the Hail Mary. Now, like I said, depending on the year, you know.
Yeah.
But that's kind of seems like our cutoff line right in there.
Right. This past year with the El Nino, things were unbelievably warm.
Yes. So, yeah, we were going probably, I think I spread cover crops November 8th or something like that. I finally finished spreading off some older seed we had and it all came up great. Couldn't believe it.
That's crazy.
It didn't come up really until, you know, come up good till March. And it was just like, oh, great. Now we have to spray this. So part of it.
All right.
But it worked out great.
What do you think the difference is between, let's just say, older conventional farming and newer conventional farming in a nutshell with regard to how it's pertaining to wildlife and what you're seeing as an avid hunter and farmer?
What killed, I wouldn't say killed, it didn't help anything, the mow board plow, it was just awful for wildlife, because, I mean, you're turning dirt over at that point, you know, you're not busting it up and chunking it up and kind of spreading it out, no, you're flipping it.
Right.
So, you're burying everything. That definitely didn't help. Obviously, the mow board plow hasn't been used in quite a few years. If you see one sitting in a fence row, it's kind of like, oh, hey, that's cool. You know, my grandpa used to pull one of those. But your modern farms, there's definitely still a lot of disc chiseling going on. And does it bury some stuff? Absolutely. But you're still fluffing a little bit on top. Gives them a chance to get into that feed, things like that. So no-till farmers are really helping out, I think. You know, for instance, you know, down those river bottoms, if that field's black, those ducks ain't going to go out there. There's nothing out there. They know there's nothing out there.
Okay.
You know, they don't stop.
Yeah.
Like, why would you? Now, you got a no-till field to where, hey, there's probably some stuff to hunt around on and probably some feed on top. That's whenever you see those geese using that field, you see those ducks using that field and stuff. It's like, yep, there you go. I mean, and then you know, there might be 300 in this field, and there's not a soul in the neighbors that's totally black. So that shows you right there.
Now, are you – so with cover crops – you know, there's a lot of different strategies there. Are you doing mixed bag? You mentioned wheat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which would be one consistent, what do you call that, a mono
just a
crop,
consistent
let's just
crop,
say.
Yeah. So we, it's 9 times out of 10 a mixed bag, and we'll actually use a different mix for what's going into soybean ground and what's going to go into our corn ground. But, yeah, there's, like I said earlier in the interview, there's wheat, rye, vetch. We'll throw in turnips in there. Just a whole array of stuff. Pennycress. Pennycress is a big one.
Okay, so you mix all that stuff up, too?
Yep, it comes in the bag, yep.
It comes pre-mixed.
Yeah, you can buy pre-mixed bags, absolutely. Okay. And we've actually, well, they just purchased a grain cleaner, and we have our own fertilizer drum, and we're going to start mixing up our own cover crop so we can kind of make our own custom mix. So we'll be playing with that this fall. And
is that going to be available to the public?
Well, absolutely.
All right. Well, I know guess. Somebody that likes to kill big deer.
I'm sure we could work something out. Absolutely.
All right.
You can be our guinea pig.
Okay. I'll gladly guinea pig some of that stuff out. Well, here we are. We're going to wrap it up right now. Thank you very much for joining us, and for you listeners, tune back in next week. We're going to be talking about some of the changing landscape with regard to farming and wildlife, and we hope you learned something today. Ringer, appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day. Black coffee in the morning,